Hello, how are you?
Very well. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Now, Nicole, we've just actually gone through Are You OK Day and kind of raised awareness and of suicide prevention and of general attention to mental health issues. Why at the moment is it so critical that we take note of the well-being of children during lockdown whilst they're learning from home?
I think it's crucial all the time. This should be our number one concern with our children and young people, no matter where we are in our world and where they are in their learning and their lives. During lockdown, well-being has absolutely been the number one concern, and it should be our number one concern. The fears around learning loss, they were not shown. What we do know is that well-being was the greatest cost for our children and young people. But we also know that it's actually an opportunity for developing well-being as well, and there's many ways that we can think about this quite positively.
Interesting. And so we know that, you know, having to adapt to an online world is somewhat difficult, but what other challenges are students currently facing whilst they've shifted to being isolated at home?
The main thing is that life is so different. It's the unfamiliarity. Second to that is the change in how we're socialising. The kids are not going to school and having that constant engagement with their peer group. They're also missing out. I'm reticent about this term learning loss. I prefer to think about schooling loss. They've missed key moments of their schooling, and we saw that most profoundly last week with Year 12 students finishing their schooling career without actually being at school. And they're really significant milestones in the development of young people. So we do need to think about how we facilitate other moments in their lives. And some kids were really, really good at moving into doing that. Kids who already had, who were really au fait with how do I socialise with my friends online. Those kids have moved into lockdown, and you know, some of them haven't experienced any major change in terms of their socialisation with their friends. But others who were not doing that, so our really young children who didn't have that experience of socialising online, have really struggled to not have that basic day-to-day connection with their peers. And then all of those missed moments that all of them have missed out on as well.
Absolutely. And this doesn't only impact their short-term well-being, but also their long-term well-being, correct?
Absolutely. And I think that's actually where we need to think about positively, because the reality is that we all face adversity through our lives. And how we respond to this moment and how we model our own response is teaching our children and young people an awful lot about how to manage the adversity that they are going to face in the rest of their lives. So if we can support them to be flexible in their thinking, to be adaptable to uncertainty and not be fearful of that, but to look for the opportunities. One of the things I've been saying to a lot of people is we never bounce back from adversity. We never go back to who we were. We move forward. We grow. So how can we support our children and young people to look at this as an opportunity of growth for how they're moving forward in their lives, rather than reinforcing these ideas of we'll go back to normal? No, we won't. We're moving forward. What's it going to look like? How do we want to be proactive in thinking about what that will be for each one of us?
I love that. That's such a beautiful perspective. And I suppose my next question might be something along the lines of how can, you know, our educators and our teachers sort of facilitate and help support that sort of perspective shift and that change and growth in students?
I think that's one of the biggest questions for us now moving forward. And it's really interesting if you look at how educators responded this year to schooling during lockdown compared to last year. There was quite a significant difference. Schools put well-being as the first priority this time around, by and large. They gave kids more space. They recognised what did work last time, what wasn't working too well. They took on board the research. They took on board the evidence coming from kids and their parents to recognise how can we actually approach this time. That's going to be really interesting in terms of how they do that when kids go back. Last year we saw teachers rely heavily on let's assess them, let's get them caught up in where learning loss has happened. We now know that's not what we need to be doing. So how can we actually grow the autonomy, the independence kids have had in schooling during lockdown, and bring that into our classrooms, into our schools. How can we actually draw on this experience to inform the ongoing change that's been happening in our schools over the last 5 to 10 years?
Absolutely. Such an interesting perspective there too. And I suppose moving forward, once they graduate beyond the confines of their high schools or their primary schools, do you kind of see or predict a kind of shift in the way that university education might be delivered, or how their skills might actually benefit them once they become into a more independent sort of learning setting?
Very much so, because we're all needing to actually listen more closely to student voice. They've had that opportunity to have greater ownership, greater autonomy. And it's from the simple things of deciding when to go to the toilet, when to eat, when to do their work, when I'll talk to people. They've had ownership over that. So moving forth into back into school or into higher education and into the workplace, we're going to be seeing a stronger shift towards recognising the strength of themselves and how they can have that ownership and can have a stronger voice in what's going on around them.